This past Thursday, Maryland Governor Robert Ehrlich drastically reduced the state's penalties against marijuana possession for those who can prove medical need for the drug. Although 9 states now have medical marijuana laws, decriminalization for recreational purposes remains politically taboo. Nonetheless, pot continues to be one of the nation's largest cash crops. Atlantic Monthly correspondent Eric Schlosser investigates the underground economy of marijuana, as well as pornography and undocumented workers. In his new book, Reefer Madness, he described meeting one group of farmers who shattered his notions of the small-time cannabis cultivator.
The marijuana growers of America aren't just growing a pot plant on their windowsill anymore. It's a highly sophisticated industry, and in the book I look at some of the indoor growing, which is some of the most lucrative marijuana, which is up to $7,000 a pound. That's much more per ounce than gold in its value. But I also look at the outdoor growers, who are responsible for the bulk of the volume of marijuana being grown. And this was a small group of people without that much training that decided to grow some marijuana outdoors in a farm in Morgan County in Indiana. They grew the seedlings indoors under lights, and then they planted it outside amidst the corn. It's very, very hard to find marijuana that's interspersed in a cornfield. And in a very brief period of time, they had a crop of marijuana that was worth an enormous amount of money. And this is going on throughout the Midwest.
How does it get distributed across the country?
Well, it's a market that doesn't have any kind of monopolistic or economic concentration. I would argue that the marijuana industry is really a free market in America at the moment. It's a domestic industry with thousands and thousands of producers and distributors. So there's no one way that it happens.
Talk about now the American market in pornography. When did the big boom come? Was it when the transition was made from this sort of communal viewing of stag films in the Elks Hall to the fact that you could actually get a video and bring it home and have it in your bedroom?
Yeah, it was only once this material became available to women as well and was being publicly exhibited that, you know, there was such a crackdown on porn. And then it's really with Deep Throat that porno films enter the mainstream. And from then on, there's this constant battle between the federal government trying to clamp down on this material and the producers of it trying to expand the market. And market forces won out in the end.
What's your take on government regulation then? As these formerly underground commodities move into the mainstream?
Well, you know, one of the ironies has been the dating back to the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980, there has been this anti-government ideology and anti-business regulation ideology and this worship of the free market. And on the one hand, they're anti-government regulation when it has to do with regulating business. On the other hand, the same small government people who oppose any business regulation have no problem sending tens of thousands of people to prison for violating drug laws and very moralistically having big brother and big government enter their personal lives.
The moral argument against pornography, can that really be totally dismissed if indeed studies have been done that connect pornography to other, perhaps socially aberrant behavior?
Well, I think there's a very strong moral argument against pornography, and all you need to do is spend time with the people who are making pornography to see how many of them are in terrible shape and are substance abusers. And very often when you watch mainstream pornography, you are watching the record, especially of women, self-destroying before your eyes. But does that mean that it should be outlawed or that there should be criminal penalties against it? The women who are acting in pornography are adults. They are making this decision to do that.
Is your goal to expose hypocrisy, extol ingenuity, explore the relationship we have in America between puritanism and privacy and profit, or to effect change?
All of those things. I mean, I would love to effect change, but I'm wary of even thinking you can do that with writing. What I'd like to do is make people think, broaden your sense of what is America about in the year 2003. And our economic story of the last 25 years isn't just Intel and wireless, the internet, but here are some other industries that were growing hugely and influencing our culture, and what you're seeing is a portrait of America at this moment.
Eric Schlosser, his new book is called Reefer Madness, Sex, Drugs, and Cheap Labor in the American Black Market. He joined us from our New York bureau. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.